hear me? Stan asked me like yesterday. He says, "Oh yeah, could you share?" So, but I had just gone through this whole thing with my mom, and I had said to him, "There's so many cool things that happened," and I know he shared most of it. So, so I'm just going to share a little bit of it, a little bit of just the actual end of my mom. My mom had dementia for 10 years, and she just died 3 weeks, I think it was 3 weeks ago now that she died. And I was really privileged because I got to be there. I was the only one that got to be with her right at the very last breath. And I don't know if you've ever been with someone who dies, like at the very, very end, but it's a holy moment. Especially if this person knows God, it's a really holy moment. It's a time when there's a definite, your heart's beating, you're warm, your skin's warm. And all of a sudden, with my mom, she lifted her head and she kind of looked at me, and then she just went, and it was, and then she was gone. And I mean, I'm not a pro at this, so I'm going, did she just die? Like, I didn't know, but it was so there in front of my face. And immediately, like her, just like that, like she's not warm anymore. It was still a little bit warm, but it was different warm. And her face was just kind of like set. And I just thought, you know, that's how every one of us is going to be. Like, we were born into this world and we live our lives, and then there's going to be a moment. Either Jesus is just going to take us away or we're going to die. And it is a holy moment. And I think that we need to think more in our life what that end is going to be, because we're going to all face that. Every single one of us is going to face it. There's just no way around it. That's just part of life, is death. But anyway, immediately after she died, lots of things were going through my head, but about 5 minutes later, I started thinking weird things like this. My mom will never have to pay another bill. And my mom will never have, she'll never eat breakfast again. She will never pick out a dress to wear. She will never put her shoes on again. That's all done. And it started making me think of all the things we are so concerned about. We're so concerned about everything, what this person's thinking, what I'm going to wear tomorrow, what my hair looks like, whether I have money. And actually, I like money. It's fun to go buy things. And yet, at that last moment, it doesn't matter. It does not matter at all. It's totally done. Just in that one breath, you're gone. You're gone. Your life on earth, your fleshly life, it's over. And so, and then I thought, you know, my mom is free. She was free. She was a Christian. She knew God. But let's face it, in this world, we have all kinds of things that are still sticky and ugly and hold us back. And I almost envied her for a minute. I just thought, wow, she is free. She doesn't have to, nothing is going to clutter her life anymore. Nothing. It's just like you breathe it out and now she's free. It's calm. It's peace. It's free. And I thought to myself, it's just like this world is almost like a prison. And at the end of your life, Jesus opens the door and he says, here, you're done. You're done. You made it. Good for you. So, and it made me think that, you know, when God made this world, he made this world so good. He made it so perfect. And he wanted it to be more than it is now. Like it's so good. It is really so good. But it is so evil yet with all the sin. The sin has marred everything. Because I started thinking, you know, so you live, so you die, so what's the purpose of life? Why do we do this? Why do we bother if it's just going to be over in a flash? Why do we bother? What is the purpose of all of this? So I just want to read a couple passages. 2 Corinthians 5, verses 4 to 7. It says this. For while we are in this tent, we groan and are burdened, because we do not wish to be unclothed, but to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling, so that what is mortal, that's our flesh, that's all the flesh stuff, may be swallowed up in life. Now it is God who has made us for this very purpose, and has given us the Spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. Therefore, we are always confident and know that as long as we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. We live by faith and not by sight. You know, we do these lives that we're living right now, they do count. It's not just like, oh, let's hurry up and get through this so that we can live, really live. That's not the point. But we have a few choices to make. And I love this, that it is God who has made us for this very purpose and has given us a Spirit guaranteeing what's to come. That is such a hope. That is such a hope. And the other thing I wanted to read was 2 Thessalonians 1, verses 11 and 12, which says this: with this in mind, we constantly pray for you that our God may count you worthy of his calling, and that by his power he may fulfill every good purpose of yours and every act prompted by your faith. We pray this so that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you, and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. So I hope you heard that. I believe the main purpose of our life is to glorify him in every single thing we do. That's our purpose. That means if you're shoveling the snow, you do it for his glory, and you do it for him. And if you are going to bless people, you're going to do it for him. One other cool thing that happened at the funeral was that I met a lot of people again that I hadn't seen for a long time, because she was buried in the church that I grew up in, but because she had been sick and had been at different places, I hadn't been back at that church for a long time, probably 15 years. And it was really cool. People came up to me and they said, "Ah, your mom was this, your mom was that." They just kept pouring into me, and it was so cool that my mom had touched so many people's lives. Now, some of you maybe met, I think a few of you have met her. She hasn't been here for a long time. My mom was a very quiet lady, very kind of shy, not social. She didn't like big groups. She didn't like any of that. And she was always a background person. She was always in the background and never wanted the limelight. Oh, but an amazing server. If there was a need, boom, she'd be there. She'd be serving you. If you needed a babysitter that day, just that minute, they'd phone her up and she'd say, "No problem." No matter what she's doing, she'd say, "Not a problem. Bring them over." And it was such a beautiful thing that all these people kept saying, "This is what your mom told me. This is what your mom did for me. Your mom sewed my wedding dress, and she charged me $10. You know, that kind of thing. That was my mom. She was just such a cool lady. And she had lots of faults, too. I'm not trying to make her sound like a saint, because she had lots of little ornery things, too, that weren't so nice. but her heart was for people. Her heart was for people. And you know what? That's really the only thing that's going to last in her. Everything else, her car, her all her stuff. In fact, she had very little stuff left. And they had a little table, and they said, "Yeah, come, just take some stuff for your mom that you can remember your mom." And I'm just going, "Well, there's really not that much stuff here, you know." I took a little salt and pepper shaker thing. That was it. You know, that stuff just doesn't count. It's just not important. But what is important is all these people that she touched with her life, which is glorifying God, right? And so that's one of the things I just want to say today, is that we have a choice. We have a choice how to live this life. And you know that. You all know that. We all know that. But let's keep our eyes up. Let's keep our eyes up, because we can so easily be dragged down and pulled under by the cares of this world. And when God says, just glorify me. Glorify me. Look to me, and I'm going to be with you through everything that you're going through. And so I'm going to switch gears just a little bit here because I want to talk about one more thing here, and it still is about a prison. I guess that's how I'm going to connect this. I've been talking with Denise and Michael, or Denise, not Michael. I've been talking with Denise Scriven. And I don't know if you guys remember her or you know her. She would always come in kind of late, and she would leave kind of early. And her husband only came on Christmas and Thanksgiving. She's been in a Bible study for a long time. We really got to know her and love her. And anyway, you probably know the story, but anyway, they are both in prison. They are both in prison right now. They are in jail for 20 months unless they get early parole. She's in Fort Saskatchewan, and he's in Calgary. And even though she's in prison, she's free. God has set her free. She is a lover of God, and I don't know Michael as well. I think that he's on the way. He's in process there. But I was able to have a talk with her twice this week, and she's very, very lonely. This is something she did not expect. This is something that's really hard. Her whole life has stopped. Okay, now my mom's life stopped, and that's over. It's over. But her life stopped right now, a pause, and it's going to continue in 20 months. And she's in a room with a bed and a shower and a sink and a toilet. That's it. And she's in what do they call it? Protective custody, just because people could harm her because they hate them right now. So she's feeling that rejection as well. And yet, God has not left her, and God is with her. And she said, I said, well, what can we do for you? How can we help you? And we can go visit them. It's kind of a process. You just have to. You can talk to me after if you want to know how. It's a bit of a process. But what she said, you know what? People could write me letters. She said they'll let me have letters. And she's really, really concerned about Michael. And she's not been able to talk with him either. She won't be able to for 30 days. And he's in Calgary, also under protective custody. And so I just want to encourage you as the body, we're choosing life. We're choosing to glorify God. This is one example that we can do. We can do this. And so what I've done is I've on the bulletin board out there, I just have a little paper that says, please write me. It's got her address and it's got Michael's. I got a little pocket for Michael and a pocket for Denise. And just take one of those little cards and write her. And, I think that we can really bless her, encourage her, give her hope. It's kind of specific. You have to be white, plain paper and blue ink. That's it. Nothing fancy, nothing added. That's it. And with Michael, he can't read handwriting, so you need to print it. I asked her about computers. She said she didn't even know if that was allowed. So just for now, blue ink. So anyway, I just thought, in some ways, my mom's freed from her prison. She's in glory. Michael and Denise, they're in prison. But we can encourage them. We can glorify God through this. And I just so want to encourage you. We can be a body here. So I just want to end today with Psalm 73. Mary Lise actually gave this little passage to me after the woman's retreat on her card. And it was really powerful. And this is what it says. Yet I am always with you. You hold me by my right hand. You guide me with your counsel. And afterward, you will take me into glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And earth has nothing I desire beside you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Those who are far from you will perish. You destroy all who are unfaithful to you. But as for me, it is good to be near God. I have made the sovereign Lord my refuge. I will tell of all your deeds. So, be blessed today. Shall I pray?
I don't think you're quite done yet. So so just one thing I want to say first is just that, when Denise and, and Mike were using, well, you know, when some of you know that, when that happens, there's just a total control that the enemy has over them, and some awful things happen, and they're paying the consequences for that. And even though God forgives and that sin is wiped away, sometimes there's still a price that you need to pay, you know, the consequence. You need to sometimes spend some time in prison, and that's what's happening with them. So, I mean, they themselves would never condone what they did, and they themselves, I know Denise would say, that was an awful time in my life. But I just thank God that he's a God who redeems. He's a God who picks us up out of the pit, and he delivers us. And that this is the really, I think, the awesome thing about our God is he says it doesn't matter what. It doesn't matter how deep in the pit you are. It doesn't matter if there's a death involved. It doesn't matter if there's drugs involved. It doesn't matter if there's greed involved. I can deal with it, God says. I can forgive you. And it's a real challenge for us as a body to do that sometimes, but God has no problem with that. The reason why I don't think you're done yet is I think that I just feel like there's people here who maybe have some prayer requests or there's some needs in your life, and I could lead that, but I think you'd be better at it. So if you just take the mic and let people speak and talk and then pray afterwards or do whatever God tells you.
All right. I guess I need to hear them too, hey? Okay, does anybody wanna say something? Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. I know, and that's true. That's a really kind of a scary thing. And I was reading in Romans 2 this morning about that. Romans 2, if you want to read about that, that's hard. God is very, very, very firm on that. That if you don't know him, it's going to be terrible. There's going to be anger. There's two words. It's going to be anger and something like wrath. Wrath. The wrath of God. Because he made us. He made us, and he put us in this world. And some of us are going, I don't care about you. I don't care. I'm going to live for me. I like what I'm doing. I want to live for me. I want to have a nice time. I'm going to have a good time. I'm going to live it up here. And yet God says, no, this life is going to, it's just going to disappear into your last breath. All of that is going to be for nothing, for nothing. And then you're not going to be living with me in heaven. And yeah, there's hell. Let's talk about it. Let's just say it. There's hell for people that have lived their lives selfishly all their lives, and they don't care. They don't care. It's hell. That's separation from God. And it's terrible. It's the wrath of God visiting man. And, you know, and yet it is so uncomplicated to seek him. It is so uncomplicated. It is like, If you don't have your heart hungry for him, all you have to say is, God, make me hungry for you. Okay, if this is for real, ask me. Ask me. And God says, I will tell you. I will pour out my love into your life. And you can become mine. You are mine, but you will know you're mine. And then glorifying God is not a hard thing. It's not painful. It's not like, okay, today I'm going to work really hard to glorify God. That is not how it goes. It comes automatically out of you because the Spirit of God is in you. He puts it in you, and it comes, it flows out of your life like light. Amen. Brian. Yeah.
true.
Amen. And it is. I said it before. It's a holy moment when someone knows God and they're going to Him. And you're right. It's a struggle. Even my mom, and I was with my dad when he died too. There is a struggle when at the very end of your life. There is, for I think every person, there is a struggle. Just that struggle. And for people who don't know God, it's ugly. I haven't seen it, but I can imagine. Amen. Good words. Thank you. Dave. Sorry. Get you in a minute now.
Anyway, we're talking, and if a person wants to know how to live and how God wants them to live, Proverbs has everything in it. There's nothing in any other part of the Bible that isn't in Proverbs. It's just a book you can read over and over again, and it's all in there, you know. And it's just like Solomon. He tried everything in his life, and everything was just frugal if he didn't have God. It was just like blowing in the wind, you know. It's just a waste of life if you don't have Christ in your life. And, you know, love everybody the way Christ loves us. That's just the way life.
I can relate to Crystal. When my wife died, I was there. And the power of God was so powerful. She was dying of lung cancer. Never had a cigarette in her mouth in her life. But secondhand smoke, the specialist said. But when she was dying, her heart was pounding so much, her shirt was going like this, at the heart, just pounding, pounding. And then all of a sudden, we were sitting there, and she raised her hands, and she worshiped the Lord in the heavenly language, just poured out of her. I'm getting ahead a little bit here. Before that, she said, "I can't find the room. I can't find the room." And then the language poured out of her, just loud. Her children were right there, and they aren't Christians. They jumped back, very loud. And then she laid her hands down. She was gone. Like you say, she's peaceful. She always used to say when I met her in Regina, and that's where we worshiped. And sometimes when the pastor she'd go up for prayer, he would just touch his two fingers on her forehead, and it was like he shot her. She'd just go boom, and she'd be down. She'd be out all through the service. Her friend would come along and cover her with a blanket. She lay there. After we got married, I said to her, "Vi, what was it like when you were, you know, down?" She said, "Dawn, it was so beautiful. I didn't want to come back." But now she's there. 14 years already, she's gone.
I'm just sitting here. One word has been going around in my heart again and again. The greatest commandment that we were given in the Bible is to love one another. And I think today what God is saying to each one of us is we get a chance, just like Crystal's mom did, to leave a legacy. And I think that God is challenging each of us to leave a legacy of love.
We all have an opportunity in our lives, especially when we are in a dark time, when something really hard we are experiencing. We can either stay in that pit and feel sorry for ourselves, or we can allow God in his great wonder and love for us to lift us out of there and to show us what he can do even in the midst of the miry pit. And in order, you know what? Our light shines its brightest when there's darkness. And so you can be a shining light in somebody's darkness. And so if you see somebody in darkness, you are the light. You are his light to go in there and shine. And that is how he is glorified. No matter what you're going through, doesn't matter how tough what you're going through is, he has the power to lift you up out of there and to be a blessing in somebody's life. And that glorifies him. And that shows them that your God is full of love, that your God looks after you, that your God gives you peace and joy, and they will want that. And that is what we have to let shine through, is who he really is. But that's our choice. Because there can be purpose. You know, I always think of Joseph, you know. When he was in prison, he didn't give up. You know, God was preparing him for the palace, right? And when he got to the palace, he was prepared. And Noah, man, that guy, there was no such thing as rain. And people were telling him he was crazy all the time. And his family was against. And you know what? He didn't give up. He still believed. And he still, and look at, he was part of saving, you know, mankind. He was a part of that. And what can we be a part of? No matter what we're going through, how hard it is, what can we be a part of what God wants to do? There's a bigger picture. In my life, you know, when this happened to my mom, God bless her soul, she's in heaven and she's free. But when this happened to my mom drank and ended up on the streets drinking Listerine. I mean, Kelly got taken away and we were abandoned. And you know what? I had that choice. I had that choice to say, oh my gosh, my husband left me. I've got 6 kids. I'm single. You know, I'm going to drink my life away. But no, I said, no, absolutely not. I have a mighty God, and he looks after me. And this can be a testimony on how powerful and loving he is in my life and the lives that he can touch. I want to be a part of that. And that's what I choose. I choose to be a shining light in the deepest darkness, and he shall be glorified, and you guys can do the same thing. You know, whoever you are, whatever you're going through, God can take you out of it, and he will show the people in your life that he is real. And whatever he has to do in his life, he will do it. You just have to rest in him to know that Jesus did it all. Jesus did it all, and he will do it for you. You just have to trust in him.
Well, for a number of years, I've kept a secret. I was a professional cuddler in the pediatric palliative care. And I am going to tell you, holding a little one as they're passing on and watching God's glory is the most beautiful thing in the world. I have a special little one. Her name is Jessie. Jessie lived in the Northwest Territories, and she was dying of leukemia. She came down, and no one came with her. She was flown down for her treatments. And this is hard. First time I walked in, there was this gorgeous little blue-eyed blonde girl. And her mom was in jail. Her dad was in jail. And her aunt was raising her and didn't want her. And I looked at her, and we had lunch together as she was having her treatment. And she said, Auntie Karen, will you be my mummy? And I said, no, Jess, I can't be your mummy, but I can be your auntie. She came down 3 or 4 more times. Our last time together, she looked at me and she said, you know what, auntie? I'm going to heaven. I'm not coming back. I said, that's good, Jess, because then you'll be out of pain. There'll be no more pain in your body. Yep. She said, I know that. I also know that you're going to be there beside me someday soon. And sometimes I can hardly wait to see Jess because I want to hug her one more time.
Good morning. Well, most of us here, like most of you here, knows my life, and I'm thankful for everything that, like all the prayers that you guys did for me, and God really blessed me. Thank you so much. But I can say, like, with all the single that are here and say, like, they are single, Kim, we are not single. We have a husband. God, Jesus is our husband. And because he is my husband, he never forsaken me, never forgets me. And he supplies everything that I need. He knows what I need, he knows what I want, and he knows what is that like he is to give me. And I'm not a perfect Christian. I do waver with my faith, but I always continue to move on. And I'm thankful that, like, even my husband is not there, and it is hard raising teenagers, very, very hard. And being in school right now is like, it's like everything is in your head and you just want to quit, you know, but I know that God is there. I cannot deny that in my life, and the only thing I'm going to ask is, I need prayer for my kids and for me, because times get tough. And my kids are not into anything. They are not. They are. It's just hard to raise teenagers when you're like, you feel like sometimes you're alone, and then of course I do remember that God is there, and I always talk to my kids about God. Tristan now is my 16 years old is coming. He's always reading his Bible, although he doesn't come with me to church, but he always asks me about God and his word about his brothers that they might not make it to heaven, or worried about Keanu, about his mental state, because sometimes he has suicidal thoughts, and that's my word. I just need some prayers for that.
Thank you. Cindy asked for prayer for her daughter, who has been diagnosed now with leukemia. That's quite a blow, and I think that it's a thing we have to talk over.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
Let's pray. God, you've heard. I'm too close to you. God, I thank you that that you are a faithful God, and that you've heard this whole conversation today, and you've heard our hearts, God, and Lord, I just pray for those who don't really know you, Lord, that just don't know you, God, or they're drifting, and they think that they don't have anything great, and they don't have any hope. God, I pray that today you will put hope in their hearts, God, that they may seek you, Lord. I pray that your Holy Spirit will go into them, Father, and that they may be softened, and they may hear your voice. God, you desire that we all go and live with you at the end of our days. And Lord, help us each to be lights. And for all of those who spoke, Father, bless them. Bless them. I think of Linda, Lord. I just pray for her children right now. And I pray, God, that you will give her the strength that she needs. And every day, God. And I pray, God, that you will give her wisdom to know the right words to say, the right words not to say sometimes. God, I pray that you will just be there right beside her, God. And I pray for the same for Kim, God. I pray that you will give her the strength that she needs, God, and that she will have great hope. Lord, I know she has great hope, but I pray that Satan may not in any way go in there and try to pull her down. Father, I just pray that you will bless her. And her children too, Father, that when a family breaks up, God, it's hard on the kids, and I pray for them, Lord. I pray that they will not turn from you, but they will turn to you, and that they will know that you are the way, the truth, and the life. God, thank you for being here today, and thank you for Cindy. God, I pray for Cindy and for her daughter. Lord, we just lift her up. God, that's a very difficult, difficult thing, Lord, but you are the healer. And Lord, I pray that in all of this, that her daughter will know your presence. God, that she will turn to you, she will seek you, and that you will be there with your hand right on her, Father. We just pray for healing right now in the name of Jesus. And I pray for Cindy, God, that she may have peace. Amen, and that Lord. And that she will know too, Lord, how to pray for her daughter. And God, we just lift this up, this family up to you. Because you have not forgotten them. You have not abandoned them. And you knew, even before she found out that she had leukemia, you knew that she had leukemia. And so, God, we just pray that you will heal her in Jesus' name. So, God, I just pray for Stan right now. God, as he gives the word, Lord, I just pray that you will put the words in his mouth. Lord, help us to hear him. Help us to hear you today. And I pray that we may draw near to you. Draw near to you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, God. Okay, one more thing.
My father died at the Red Deer dump of a massive heart attack, and my mom knew he was gone. So 4 months later, I went to work, and I was at work coming home, flying home, and my sister phoned me and said, your mom's not doing good. By the time I got into Red Deer and at the Greyhound, I got a call from my sister, and my sister said, my mom looked at her and said, goodbye, your father's gone. We all care. And she crossed her arms, she slid down the floor and died on the floor. And my sister was a registered nurse, and she tried to bring her back to life, but she was gone.
We've all got stories to that, don't we? Wow. Thank you. One of the things we're also going to do today is choose our leadership. So as we prayed last week and called you to pray all through this week, there are 7 people who are going to be, 3 are going to be chosen out of 7, and we're going to be drawing lots. We're going to ask Chris to come forward, and Chris is going to lead us in this time of the service. I'm just praying that God gives us the right leaders, the right men and women. We have presently 8 leaders, and Carl is going to be retiring from his service. He's been an elder and a leader among us. I guess leader is the right word for 2 years, and we're thankful for that. I'm going to let you take over.
Thank you. Father, we thank you that you have chosen us here. Lord, we just we thank you that you're going to use them to bring leadership to this fellowship board. And so, Father, we just thank you for them right now. We ask that you would use them for your glory. We ask that you hear them.
You say, thank you, Lord? All right, God provides leadership. And, you know, one of the downsides of doing it the way we do it is that, you know, there's seven names. And you got to trust Chris. There really were seven names in there. He didn't just put those three names in there four or five times. I'm just making a joke. But, you know, when there's three that are chosen, there's four that aren't. So it's kind of a system where there's more losers than winners. But we don't look at it as losers. As a matter of fact, when we were talking about this, in leadership, we are so blessed as a church that we could have easily had 20 people who are qualified, who have spiritual gifts to be leaders among us. We could have had 20 people on the ballot, but instead, you know, we limited it to seven so that there wouldn't be so many. But, you know, just I'm so grateful, I guess is what I'm saying. I'm so grateful that God gives us many men and women who are qualified to serve God. And we pray for our leadership, and we ask that we'll just continue to be one. Continue to just serve God and lead this church and lead you, you know, as we all follow one leader, right? We follow one leader who's Jesus. I'm just going to pray and then open God's word. And just so you know, it's not the word I came with today, so you kind of probably figure that out by now. God's moving in a different direction, and I don't know what's going to happen when we open this word of God, but I just believe that it's something he wants to say. And maybe it's just to one or two people, and I don't even know really what he's going to say yet, but I know he does, so... Just pray with me. Lord God, thank you for your word and your faithful God. Thank you that you are the king and that we are a church that follows a king and not a man. That you are eternal king. You are Alpha, Omega, beginning and the end, and that you lead us. We ask you and we invite you to continue to do what you've been doing. Just lead us, God. Lead us into paths of righteousness. Lead us, Lord, to follow you in truth, in the truth of your word. Lead us by your word and your spirit, I pray. Now, thank you for this time of closeness and fellowship and that we have an opportunity sometimes to share our needs and bring up some of the things that are hard in our lives and to hug and comfort each other and to pray for each other and to really, truly be a body. Help us to learn how to do that even better and to love one another and to serve each other like your word says, just serving each other in love. Thank you, God. Thank you that we come here on a cold and a wintry day and that we're blessed and you warm us up and you remind us that even though our skins are like, or not our skins, our sin is like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. In Jesus' name, amen. You don't need to pray, clap for everything. I'm going to read from Psalm 23 today. And it's just what God's laying on my heart right at this moment. And I guess it's partly because the whole idea of leadership is kind of a daunting thought, to be a leader. And I know that some of the people who are on the ballot, they're nervous about it, they're a little afraid of it. I just want to remind you today that we really have one leader, and that leader is Jesus Christ. And that the most important thing any of us can do is that we just follow him. And it makes it kind of simple if we just do it that way. We don't need to follow Charlene or Crystal or Chris. We need to follow Jesus. And the more we do that and the more carefully we do that in our lives, the more we know we're on the right track. And so he's our shepherd. Can you just turn me down a little bit? He is our shepherd. He's our shepherd. And he leads us. Read with me. These are familiar words. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me.
Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen? Those are familiar words, and maybe I fall back on it because it's familiar. But I think it's more than that. I think a lot of the things that we were talking about today, things that Crystal was sharing and things about leadership, a lot of it ties into this psalm. And even though a lot of times we only hear this psalm when it comes to funerals, there's so much in this for us. You know, I think about what Crystal said about her mom, and she had to, that's really a privilege. It's a rare privilege when you are there praying with someone as they, it's a portal, you know, the portal from this life to the next life, and you're there holding their hand and you're praying for them. And I said to Crystal, I believe that God gave you that opportunity. It was a privilege because he knows that you're faithful and you love him, and he gave you, this is a special thing, and she accepts that as a special gift from God to be able to do that with someone like your mom, like your mother. But I love what it says in Psalm 23 about that even when we go through that valley of the shadow of death, which is where Crystal's mom was at that time, he says, I am with you. And that's a wonderful, comforting thought. You know, God's with us. He's with us always, of course. But even in that really hard place, you know, maybe not all of us are going to have that privilege of having a daughter pray with us as we're in our dying, you know, our dying breath. Maybe we don't get that opportunity. Maybe we do. But one thing we know for sure is that our God is going to be there. Amen? One thing for absolute positive is that he keeps that promise that I will be with you even to the very end, and I will be there to lead you into a new and a better life, right? Even though I go through the valley of the shadow of death, you are with me, God. You are with me. He's a faithful God. Do you know that? It's what we've been celebrating all morning. It's what we were singing about. It's what the sharing was about. Even though things are hard, he's faithful. Even though we sometimes feel like we're carrying that load on our own two shoulders, we really are not. God's carrying that load. I like what someone said, that you're not alone. You have a husband, and his name is Jesus. That we are all the bride of Christ in that sense, and that he shepherds us. I love that idea that he's a shepherd, and that he walks ahead of us. I want you to really see that picture this morning and just emblaze that picture of a shepherd in your heart. That's what a shepherd does. Maybe we don't understand that, but we don't see a lot of shepherds here. We live in cattle country. This is Alberta, after all. There are sheep, but you know, they mostly are on their own these days. There aren't many shepherds. But back in those days, in the days of David, because David wrote this psalm, back in those days, what a shepherd did is he led the sheep. So they knew back then, they knew that you don't herd sheep. They're just too stupid. And by the way, we're called shepherd sheep, I mean. So not a very complimentary thing for us to be called, but sheep are really not all that bright, and they don't herd very well. They get all spooky, and they run all over the map, and a shepherd never does this, you know, trying to get this guy to go, and all this, go get this, right? He doesn't do that. Instead, what the shepherd does is he says, follow me. You come. And the sheep learn eventually. Sometimes, you know, they learn from the ones who already know, but they learn eventually that we need to follow the shepherd, and the shepherd's going to bring us to greener grass, greener pastures. The shepherd's going to bring us to clear water. The shepherd's going to bring us to a place where we're safe, where the bear and the coyote and the wolf aren't going to attack us. But what the trick is, what the important thing is that we need to understand is that it's about following. It's about following Jesus and about following the shepherd. And I got to be honest with you that I really believe in that model, and I try to live that model out in my life and my gifts as a pastor. What I mean by that is this. I think that all we can ever do with people who come to our church and who want to be part of this body is to say, this is who we are. We're Jesus followers. We're going to follow Jesus. We are going to believe his word. We are going to operate in the gifts of the Holy Spirit and in the power of the Holy Spirit. And if you want to come along, here's what it looks like. And you're welcome to come along. But I just have found in my life that it doesn't work very good to try to herd people or try to make them do things or try to, you know, trying to keep this sheep happy and then try to keep this sheep happy and, oh, that one's tailing behind. And, you know, it doesn't work very well. You can't keep everybody happy. All I really only need to keep one person happy, and that's God. I really only need to follow one individual, and that individual is Jesus Christ. And to, just to keep in step with him. And I don't do that perfectly. None of us do. We sometimes stumble. I sometimes get sidetracked. I sometimes get off on a little road here where, you know, where I shouldn't be, and he calls me back. And it's okay for Jesus to do that. He's got a rod and a staff. He knows how to use them. Right? I've had that rod around my neck before where he gets me back in line again. But we need to let him do that. And what we need as a body of Christ, as a church, we need to just say, here's the direction that we're going, and it's the direction of following Jesus Christ. And he leads us in two ways. He leads us by his Spirit, and he leads us by his Word. And we're going to follow the Word and the Spirit, because that's how true worshipers will worship me, he says. And I believe that's really the heart of Psalm 23. It's really what we need to hear, that we need to be followers of God, followers of Jesus, and not worry. And this is the hard part, but just not worry about what's going on behind us. You know, some of the sheep aren't going to follow. Some of them are going to go to other shepherds or other pastures. They're going to want something different. I can't change those kind of things. All I can do, the only thing that I know I can do, the only thing that's definite and sure in my life is following Jesus Christ. I'm going to follow him and go the way that he wants us to go. He calls his sheep in John 10. John tells us about that. He says, my sheep know my voice. My sheep know my voice and they respond to me. He says, I am the gate. I am the good shepherd. So he doesn't, the second thing, again, this isn't all planned out. So, but the second thing, the shepherd doesn't just walk, he speaks. He's got a voice. And he'll say, I don't know how he speaks, what a shepherd says to his sheep, but he calls them by name. He says, Doug, or maybe Dougie. You know, or Bill. No, he doesn't say Dougie. Or Ivan. He says, I say your name. Ivan, come and follow me. You know, Eleanor, follow me. That's what he does. He knows us by name. And, you know, the question is, do we recognize his voice? It isn't just that he's ahead of us. It isn't just that we need to follow him. We also need to have ears. Amen? We need to listen to what he's saying. He says, Stan, follow me. Margaret, are you there? Are you there? Luke, do you hear me? I'm calling your name. Years ago, we had an experiment. We used to have a little farm. We only have a little farm. But we bought a sheep. I thought this was going to be a great idea. And found out just how stupid sheep can be. This sheep had two lambs and went about very quickly after the lambs were born, went about dying. And this was intent on dying and almost died a few times and then did die. Just was always getting caught up in barbed wire and finding a way to hurt herself. And next thing you knew is we had two little lambs that were about a week old and we had no mama. And it was the summertime and Crystal wasn't teaching and she started feeding these little lambs with the bottles and would, you know, get the little one at first and teach them how to suck on the little bottle. And I'll never forget this story, but and this is probably, we're probably going back, I don't know how many years, maybe, I don't know, 15 to 20 years ago. But she would stand at the door of our house, and the little lambs, they're tiny little things. They'd be out who knows where, you know, eating grass, and she would go, Lammies, I can't do it like you. Lammies, come on, Lammies. And they would come, they knew her voice. They'd come whipping from the little pasture that we have. They'd come whipping up the hill, right up to the stairs. They weren't afraid of anything. Lammies, come on, Lammies. And she'd have a bottle. And I never thought, I never forgot that picture, because that's exactly what John says. It's exactly what the Good Shepherd wants us to do. Because he cries out your name. He goes, you know, Terry. Or Lenny, Lynn. Yeah. I want you to come. I want you to know my voice. I told you this is all off the cuff. But God wants you to hear him. And listen, God knows who you are. That's the key. You might not know God very well, or you're just starting in a relationship with God. And that could be true for a lot of us. You don't really know God very well, but God knows you, Holly. He goes, I know you, Holly. He says your name. Holly. And you need to go, yes, God. Where are you, Jesus? Because I want to follow you, Jesus. He says, Gord. And Gord says, I know that voice. And I want to drink of you, Lord. I want to drink of you. I think one of the reasons why it just hit me this morning to go to Psalm 23 was because of a story I heard this week. And I want to just finish with this story because I think it kind of ties things all together. I heard a story about a shepherd in, I believe it was one of the Ukraine, in the Ukraine or Russia, one of those countries, where they still have shepherds. And there's a story about a sheep who had gone lost. It had been gone. I don't know if you heard the story. It was in the news a couple weeks ago. And they called it Shrek, but they found it again. But I don't know why they called it Shrek. It's got nothing to do with the story, actually. I don't even know why I told you, but it doesn't matter. Anyways, this sheep was gone for 6 years. They knew it was this sheep because it had a tag in its ear. And they thought that sheep, the shepherd and the farm, whatever it was, they thought that sheep had been gone for a long time, was probably eaten by wolves or something else. And that sheep had decided on its own to just sort of live out in the caves and hang out. And he lived in a cave apparently for a long, long time, found his own food and found his own water. But the thing of it is when they finally found this sheep, it was like huge, like you can't even imagine, because it hadn't been sheared or shorn or whatever that word is, right, for 6 years. And from what I heard in the story was that the average sheep has about 10 pounds of wool. Thank you. About 10 pounds of wool every year. And when they sheared this particular oversized, huge bundle of fluff, there was almost 60 pounds. Almost 60 pounds of wool. And the thing looked awful. Like if you, I think if you look it up, you might even see a picture of it on the internet. But the thing looked, it was all matted. It was oily because sheep are that way. They get really oily. And it was just this huge, it was all tied up with brambles. And it was just this ugly mess, you know, just an ugly mess. Until finally the shepherd got it and tied it up and sheared the wool off, and it looked like something absolutely brand new, you know, just, and it they let it go, and I don't know if this is part of the story, but I'm going to make it part of the story. It jumped and it kicked and it just, you know, I can just imagine that part, right? That it was free of all that weight. And I'm telling you that story in the context of Psalm 23 because if you don't know Jesus, this is what it's all about. What he really wants us to do, what he really, really compels us to do is to turn to him so that he can take the load off. Does that make sense? And that when we don't come to him and we just decide, I'm going to go my own way, I'm going to find my own water, I'm going to live in my own cave, I'm going to live my own life, that's all fine and dandy, except, you know, about 6 years into that, you're just one great big tangled overweight mess, right? You get it? And that's why we need to follow the shepherd, because we need to be set free. And you know what? Every one of us, includes me, all of us, we need to have that lightness. Okay. I don't know if that's the one or not, but that is the one. Okay. Again, this is all off the cuff. And anyways, we need that lightness. You know, I need from time to time, even though I know that I'm righteous, I know that I'm under the blood of Jesus Christ. I know that I'm following the shepherd. It's still a good thing when he takes me into the pen and he says, it's time to lighten the load, Stan. I'm going to remind you again, and he does it with every stripe. He's going to remind you again that I carry your weight. I carry the load that you think you're carrying. I am your righteousness. I'm going to make you free. I'm going to remove all the hindrances of sin, every addiction, everything that ties you down, everything that makes you that bundle of mess, that ugly, tangled up bundle of mess. I'm going to remove it from you. And I've done that work for you on the cross. Isn't that good news? Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Amen. So, God, I pray today that you're just going to set us free, and you'll find us to be sheep that want to follow you. We want to just be faithful. We want to hear your voice and respond to your voice. We want to come to you, Jesus, and be set free. And sometimes we need that daily. Even though essentially We're righteous. We're bound for glory. All of that's true. Still, Lord, every day that wall keeps growing. That sin sometimes grows in our lives, and we want you to just remove it again, God. Remove it again. Because that big bundle of ugliness is not who we really are. And we don't know who we really are until you remove it from us. So I pray, God, this morning, I pray for everyone who's here and everyone who hears this message, that we will know you as the Good Shepherd, that we will hear you call our voice, that you will find us right on your heels, God, right on the heels of the Good Shepherd. And that if there's anyone here today who's feeling the weight of all that mutton, all that wool, all that stuff on their back, God, that anyone who's feeling that weight, that you'll be ready today to take it off. Because your burden is light and your yoke is easy, Jesus. And I thank you for that. I pray that we will follow the leadership that you choose for us in this body, and that the leadership that you choose for this body will follow you, Jesus. And that's our prayer. Amen. Amen. I want to invite you today, just as we sing one last song, if you want to come, if there's a load that it's time for it to get off, why don't you come and just kneel on the front, and there'll be people who will pray for you. You understand what I'm saying? If you're hearing God today and you know that what he's saying is that it's time, it's just time to be set free. If you look more like that, then you don't need to leave today without having it removed. Praise God. So I just invite you to come to the front during this song. We're going to sing a song about Jesus. And it's just time to come to him. Can you say amen? Just come.
You don't have to know how to pray. All you have to know how to say is Jesus. Jesus. A shouted voice or a whispered song in a crowded room when you're all alone. Love. Jesus. Every day the name of Jesus. Lover of my soul. Power in the name of Jesus. I'm forever changing, Jesus, my Savior and my Lord.
That's just our voice.
Jesus, how I love the name of Jesus. Every day the same is Jesus. Lover of my soul.
Lover of my soul. It is
Jesus. There's power in the name of Jesus. I'm forever changed in Jesus. My Savior and my Lord. How I love the name of Jesus. Every day the same is Jesus. Lover of my soul. Of my soul. Jesus. There's power in the name of Jesus. I'm forever the same.
Bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you, be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance. May Jesus lift up his face, his countenance upon you, and give you his shepherd's peace. God bless you.
Jesus, how I love the name.